Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, how well do we understand our Lord's parables? And here our Lord, once he's alone with his disciples, even ask them, if you can't understand the parables, how are you ever going to understand if you don't understand this one now? And in fact, they really need to ask themselves as well. He says, you look at the way on the, of course, our Lord is comparing to the seed fallen on the ground. Those fallen on the ground, those fallen in thorns, those on rock, etc., and those that fall on good ground. Now, obviously, the word is the gospel. The sower is our Lord. And the church after him who keeps that faith, the deposit of faith. And we are all the ones, all of us, who receive the word. So it's a question then of which one of those are we? Where do we fit in? And what's really important, we can look at this in maybe in two ways. All of us, first of all, are called to bear fruit. That's our call to holiness, and every one of us has that call. And then the next question is, well, how well do we bear fruit? And how often we find maybe we're not bearing as much fruit as we need to. One example given is of the vine. In fact, our Lord actually gives it in this long discourse after the Last Supper. The vine grower. And in order to make, and we're talking grapevines, in order to make those vines grow, they have to be pruned, they have to be cut down each year, and then they grow again, and they produce much fruit. But here he looks at it, we take a look, there's the example of the four baskets. You walk into the vineyard and you see four baskets there. One has no fruit in it at all. One has just a little bit, maybe going up to halfway. Then another one has maybe about three quarters, and the other one is full abundant with fruit. And it's a way, it's how do we produce that fruit? And we're called to reach that fourth basket, full of fruit. How is it that the first one is empty? How can we bear fruit if we're in our sins? We have to get rid of those sins. That's the pricking and the prodding that we have to do to ourselves. We have to recognize that, repent, as our Lord calls, bids us to do. We already saw that earlier this week. I think it was actually Sunday's Gospel. The very first words that he preached in his public ministry, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means we have to turn away from ourselves and our sins. All right. It's an example of a woman who was, she was a Christian, but she wasn't, she had no feeling for it at all. No feeling for it at all. And she just actually basically almost to the point of despair. She just had no feeling. And she came to this evangelist, not a Catholic, but actually a very good one. In any case, who began to, as they spoke, they were in a prayer group. And he got her confidence and got her to speak, and she began to tell about her mother, who by this time had passed away, but who she had a very bad feeling for. Her mother had not brought her up very well or had abused her, whatever. She was not good. They had a very bad relationship. And so this woman was very bitter. And he spoke to her and gave her some Bible passages to read. I forget exactly, but she began to reflect on what she had spoken with him. And she realized her bitterness was caused by the fact that she never forgave her mother. And when she realized that and she could bring herself to forgive her, she became a very fruitful, practicing Christian. So it took recognizing that fact that she hadn't forgiven. And once she did, she began to bear fruit. There's always that something, that's something hidden within us. That's the sin, that's the very lowest level. That's the first part. And once we recognize that and we turn that around, now we begin to bear fruit. Then we go on And the passage, it seems like, well, there's still something here. Why am I feeling, why am I suffering this or that, or why this trial? Why this difficulty? We've already taken care of the sins. We have the sacrament of penance. We can easily do that. And we should make frequent use of it. But now what? You see, the rest of it, God is, now God is working on us. He's pruning us. And he will do that until we're bearing even more fruit. And he can do that in different ways, but what he's doing there as we carry along is that he's working us, pulling, prodding even more to make sure we bring even more fruit, even bear even more fruit, become even more zealous by overcoming those trials, by recognizing ultimately there's still something of ourself there that we have to give up. And I give another little example here to finish. It's the same evangelist whose book I'm reading, who at one point thought he was doing really well. Everything was really well. It took another friend actually to bring it out to him. But he at one point got to the point where he felt God asking him to give him his children. He has three. Has three children, loved them very much, took care of them very well. And God was calling him to give them up too. And his first reaction was, nope, can't have them. Not my children, no. But he realized in his prayer and his reflection, God was really calling him to give up everything. And he finally placed it all in God's hands. Okay, God, they're yours. Your children, you're my wife. Everyone I love the most, they're yours. What he found was it didn't mean that he had to give up tending them, taking care of them, and giving up loving them. But he just simply placed everything in God's hands. They belong to him, to God, not to himself any longer. And he reached his fulfillment, as it were. That is, he was able to continue bearing that fruit unimpeded. And yet he still could love and tend his children, so it wasn't as if he lost them all. He still has his children. They're grown by now, but he still has his children in any case. And still loves them. That never changed. You see? And his wife as well, of course. But the point is, God is working to get everything. He wants us completely. Right? Here we're talking now about love. God's love. Another word for that is charity. He wants us, he wants to give himself to us completely, but he wants us to give ourselves to him in return, open ourselves completely, so he can fill us with himself. And that's that ultimate pruning. So it seems like, it may seem like no matter what, there's some suffering involved. Yes, there is, because there's some sacrifice involved, and it's all throughout this life. As long as we're in this life, we have that sacrifice to make, one way or another. But we're going to find, if we willingly make that sacrifice, there's also a great joy involved. When St. Francis would come to call perfect joy, because it's all for him, for God. And in the end, ultimately, well, we can only begin to feel it in this life, only barely begin. But in eternal life, we have it in its fullness, and it's beyond our complete imagining. Eternal life with God. Praise be Jesus and Mary.